A lot about relationships, a lot about building a trust and building a kind of foundation of a connection with the players and trying to teach them what it takes to succeed.
Today on the Rising Coaches podcast, we got the opportunity to sit down at the Final Four in Phoenix with a father-son duo in Pat and Matt Ambrose. Matt Ambrose, a recent graduate from Calvin University and pivotal player for the men's basketball team's successes with a 25-5 record this past season. And Pat Ambrose, a former head coach of Stevenson High School, Hall of Fame coach who has also excelled the Stevenson program for the past 24 years while holding an overall record of 505 wins and 191 losses, including four state trophies, and coaching former as well as current NBA players and a wide range of kids getting into various colleges. One of which, including current NBA All-Star, Jalen Brunson. We are excited to get to learn from a current Hall of Fame coach, as well as another one on the rise. So please welcome Matt and Pat Ambrose. Video analysis is expensive and your budget probably isn't getting much bigger. Fulcrum Tech is here to help. Used by basketball teams at all levels from Division I all the way to high school, their Angles product is very similar to what you know and allows you to code, capture, and analyze with ease. All you have to do is import the raw video in Synergy with just the click of a mouse. Over the past 2 years, over 60% of Division I teams in conferences such as the SEC, Pac-12, American, NBC, and A-10, just to name a few, have made the postseason, all while using Fulcrum Tech and saving thousands and thousands of dollars compared to their old companies. Reach out to Fulcrum Tech on X at Fulcrum Tech or their sales at sales@fulcrumtech.com. Just shoot them over an email and be sure to mention if you are a Rising Coaches member. Do more, spend less with Fulcrum Tech.
So we are here, Phoenix, Arizona, for the Final Four, sitting down with Pat and Matt Ambrose. Pat being the father and Matt being the son. Just want to make sure to clarify. Okay. But Coach Ambrose, you know, just talk to us a little bit about some of the things that throughout your years, your experiences, you know, and some things that you learned throughout the years. Kind of, we'll let you go down that loophole.
Well, there's a lot, and thank you very much for having us on. Yeah, we really appreciate absolutely. It. We're excited to be here down at the Final Four. We're excited to be with the Rising Coaches, an organization that I really respect and really and look at it in a real positive way. So for me to give back and to talk about my experiences and my, you know, kind of time as a coach, as a high school coach in the Chicagoland area, it's a lot of fun for me to look back, but it's also really good for me to kind of share that with other people and to help other people as I'm trying to help my son kind of break into the coaching profession. But I was the high school head varsity boys basketball coach for 24 years at Lincolnshire Stevenson High School. It's a northern suburb of Chicago. We were really successful. Sent a lot of players onto college ranks, and also I currently have four players that are playing professionally. In my 24 years, I had just a tremendous amount of kids that really, you know, sacrificed a lot and did a lot for the program. So I was really fortunate and blessed. My two sons also played for me as well, and Matthew may talk about that a little bit. My experiences and my, you know, kind of lessons learned along the way, like a lot of people say, a lot about relationships, a lot about building a trust and building a kind of foundation of a connection with the players and trying to teach them what it takes to succeed, not only at the high school level, but also at the collegiate level, and possibly if they're lucky enough or blessed enough to play at the professional level. You know, there's no secret to you got to work hard, and you got to be kind of, you know, focused on the fundamentals, and we did that in the 24 years, and just lucky to have a lot of great experiences.
You know, I always ask coaches this because it, I guess I'm just this inner curiosity. When did you know, as a young coach, you know, like, or maybe before you got into coaching, but like, that's what I want to do? And then were there one or two people that like inspired you, that, you know, because of the way they coached you, that made you want to do it? So, you know, everybody kind of has that moment, like when you're really, really sure. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You're taking that leap, you know, but deep down you're like, I'm pretty convinced, like, this is what I want to chase because this is awesome.
You may not see, but I'm smiling now.
I'm glad. During my question, I can see it.
I'm glad you asked because it was my high school coach.
Mine too.
Richard Dick Whitaker, who passed away several years ago. He was the one that kind of inspired me.
Yeah.
In high school, allowed me to work the summer basketball youth camps, and I did that and really kind of enjoyed myself doing that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really helps, you know, give me a good idea going into college that I wanted to be a high school coach or some sort of basketball coach. And whenever I speak at clinics or whenever I speak at things, I usually try to bring up his name just because for me, it rings the bell for me.
Yeah.
He's not around anymore, nor is his wife around, but they really meant a lot to me in high school.
Yeah.
Kind of taking me under my wing and kind of showing me what it takes to be a good person, a good coach, a good mentor.
Yeah.
Going off to college, and I kind of knew.
Yeah.
And at that point also, too, I had a lot of mentors. I had a lot of people help me out along the way in college and post-college. I worked for a couple, legendary high school coaches right out of college that kind of mentored me and helped me and got me to, you know, be a better person. So,
yeah,
it's a short answer. Richard Dick Whitaker,
yeah,
my high school basketball coach.
Yeah, you know what's great is when people believe in you before you believe in yourself, like that's when you really, like that's so powerful. And that's what those people did. Like that's what my high school coach did for me. I still remember the conversation I had with him about wanting to get into coaching. I had no clue how. I still have no clue, but I just found a way to trick people for 25 years.
Yeah.
But my point was, like, he believed in me before I believed in myself.
Yeah.
And to this day, and I still recently kind of rekindled a relationship with him because we live in the same city now, and I've been living all over the place. But we went out to lunch a couple months ago, and I took him to a Butler basketball game, you know, and we got to sit together and watch the game. And he sent a text a couple of days later, like, "Hey, it was just so great to reconnect with you. I enjoyed the game, but like, I without him, there's no coaching career." So, but when people believe in you, and I think that's what we're kind of supposed to do as coaches, is believe in players more than they believe in themselves, and see something in them that they can't see. And then when they see what we see, then that's when it's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's a synergistic effect. I mean, 2 + 2 is supposed to equal 4, but if 2 + 2 equals 15, that's the synergistic explosive effect that we as coaches can have on players if it works out.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt. We're turning it on to you.
That's
all right.
Awesome.
So basically, I guess one of the big things, first off, we're just going to talk about, you know, again, you played for your father in high school, so of course it's different, right?
Yeah.
But then going on to college as well, just talk about some things that you love that maybe coaches did, some styles that you enjoyed, whether it was with your dad or in college or whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's always just been the love for the game has always been there. So I've always just loved playing basketball, and it's the relationships that I've built. And all my coaches throughout my whole career, my dad, my junior high coaches, my college coaches.
So you guys didn't talk about plumbing at the breakfast table?
We knew what
the subject matter was every night.
No, that dynamic was a little bit difficult at first because it was like, hey, it was in the gym. The rule was in the gym, it's coach, but at home, it's dad. So
there you go.
That balance at first was very difficult.
Sure.
Once you have a bad practice, you want to bring that thing home, and you're like, hey, what did I do?
That's right.
And at first, he would be like, hey, this is what you did. But then it'd be like, okay, dad at home, we'll talk about it later.
There were
some benefits, though. And watching film, like it would just be like, hey, Matthew, come downstairs. Like, I got to show you this clip. So, I mean, I think that was hard for me, but it was also awesome just because of how much I loved the game. And with my brother, it's kind of a whole family affair. But
for sure,
it was awesome, and I'm very blessed that I was able to be coached by him.
Well, you know, there's beauty about it. And this is, you know, it's another chance for you two to hang out.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. You put a different bond.
Let's just call it for what it is. You're stealing time together.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
I had a very
similar. So you're both doing what you enjoy. You're doing what you love. But, like, then you're just stealing time with each other. Like.
Yeah, and as coaches, we spend a lot of time, you know, coaching other people's kids.
Yes.
If you have a chance to coach your own kid, it's hard. There's challenges, no doubt about it.
Right.
But you look back and say, hey, if it can work out, do it. Because you're gonna regret it if you don't. Because
absolutely.
You're so far away.
Yeah. It probably made you a better coach.
Oh yeah, I had to be sharp, and I had to be make sure I was ready and things to go. No doubt about it.
I got to make sure to give a plug because my dad coached me my freshman year, of high school, and of course, you know, he always told me, he goes, I knew I had this like kind of ease off because, but he had to not be necessarily the father, just kind of talk to you more in basketball terms, yeah, because I gave him a look one time, and he goes, and once I saw that look, I knew, all right, I'm gonna have my assistant go talk to him and have somebody else go talk to him. Yeah. You know, he goes, once he saw that look, he's like, all right, it's time.
Yeah.
So then I ended up going up to JV, and then it was just kind of out of hands at that point.
Yeah.
But so Matt, one thing I want to talk about too, which one, obviously it helps having your dad be in the industry, help you out, not necessarily help you out, but at least guide you in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Right? Talk about, like, so right now you're graduating college.
Yep.
Looking for a GA position, looking to stay on the coaching. What are some things that you're doing right now?
Yeah, no, so I mean, it does help with a dad that obviously is very connected, but I mean, one of those things that we kind of talk about is don't be afraid to fail forward.
Sure.
And so, like, you just got to network with people. You can't be afraid. You got to go up to people, and that's why Phoenix is awesome, and be here at the Final Four and just coaches conventions. Like, you got to do the work yourself. He'll tell you who this is, whatever, but you got to go up. You got to introduce yourself. You got to be outgoing.
Yeah.
It can be very hard because you're going to go up to someone, hey, you might not know them kind of thing, but it's kind of all about networking. So just don't be afraid to reach out to people, connect with people all the time. I mean, it's just, hey, hit you up. Are you going to be at the Final Four? Can we meet up? And there's plenty of coaches that they won't get back to you, and it's just because they're so busy and all the transfer portal and all that stuff nowadays. It's crazy,
right.
But it's just, you got to kind of keep putting yourself out there and don't be afraid to fail and just network. That's all it's about.
Sounds like he's been in this industry for like 15 years.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you. You know what? It's same thing you've always told your teams to do is our best chance to win is to control the controllables.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's really, now you're just shifting that mindset to the profession. So your same competitive nature, your same love for the game, all you're doing is just now transferring that from the court to the profession.
Yep.
And absolutely, the biggest thing I would tell you is, you know, never get tired of planting seeds. You know, some seeds are going to land on soft soil. Those will end up being probably pretty good relationships. Some seeds are going to land on soil that's a little bit hard, so to speak. You're gonna have to get the shovel out and maybe loosen that up, take some work. Some seeds are gonna land on concrete, nothing you can do about that.
Yep.
But you planted it.
Yep.
Right? So you just did your part.
Yep.
And then, but the ones that you leave in your pocket aren't gonna help you at all.
Great point.
Yep.
So that's a bit, I mean, whether it's, and that's just not for this weekend, that's moving forward. It's just be as authentic as you can about planting seeds. You can't control where they're going to land. You can't control the type of soil they're going to hit. You can't control how much they're going to grow. But you can to a degree, because the ones that do start to grow, those are the ones you water and get sunlight on. And then, because now you can build those,
absolutely,
right, once they stick their head up out of the ground.
Yeah. And I think even for me, just being here, this is, what, Thursday afternoon, getting in yesterday, like, I remember we saw someone at the airport. I was like, oh, I recognize him. Don't know him. And he's like, go up to him. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was like, ah. Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
know
if I should.
Yeah.
Even since then, I'm like, and then you look back on it, and you're at night, you're like, ah, I should have. Hopefully I run
into
him again.
Don't feel bad. I've done this a long time. I did that four times in the convention hall this morning. I went, and then I backed. So don't feel bad.
Every day I'm like, I see someone. Even if the relationship's not going to last, but you gave it your effort. You
tried
to go up to him. You gave. That's all you can ask for, and
that's it.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'd say one thing I learned out of that too, off of your point, you go up, you say hi to somebody. As soon as you say hi to somebody, if you still know where they're at and who they're with, find their email, shoot them an email. Hey, I saw you. Like, write them down. That was one thing that I actually learned. You know, write their name down on a list. I'm the type of person where I am not the best with remembering names, especially off
same
of a quick
here.
Situation.
Yep.
So yeah, write it down on your notepad. Everybody got their cell phones with notes now, right? Write it down, shoot them an email over later on, say, hey, it was great to connect with you, even though it's really brief. You know, I'd love to connect more if possible. And the one thing, you said this earlier, Matt, the hardest thing is people don't answer, right? A lot of coaches don't want to answer just because, you know, whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's nothing personal. That's the number one thing. A lot of times I took personal. I was like,
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it just, that's part of the industry.
Yeah. One old school tactic that takes a little bit longer, and I say old school, your dad will understand it. You'll appreciate the value of this is what I'm about to say, is you can go on Amazon and you can actually create your own personal stationery. and the power of a personal handwritten note. Like when my mom passed away, some people would tell me, like, your mom used to write me a letter for my birthday, or she'd send me a card, and it wouldn't just, she wouldn't just send me a card, she would actually write something underneath the Hallmark greeting, you know. Mm-hmm. But like when you get a card from someone or a note, and someone took the extra 12 minutes to sit down and physically handwrite something to somebody, enjoyed meeting you in Phoenix, you know, congrats on your season if you know how they did. Would love to stay in touch in the year future. If it's somebody in the area, you can go watch a practice, you know. But just like the power of a personal hand note will never die. So absolutely. Nothing against our techie world and emails and texting. I'm all with it, yeah. But
a text takes 10 seconds.
A hand note is powerful, man.
Yep.
Think about how you feel the ones you get in the mail when somebody writes you.
Different feeling, like, for sure.
Yeah, you feel that a little bit more.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we'll talk about this, kind of going off of that, like recruiting purposes. You obviously got recruited, I'm sure, by a decent amount of schools. Yep. I shouldn't say decent amount. You got recruited by a nice handful of schools. Yep. So, like, out of that, what were some tactics, and even be from the coaching perspective, you know, what were some things that maybe kids did for your players, but then also, like, what were some things that maybe you saw, Matt? I should probably start clarifying because I'm sitting over here pointing. you know, we don't have a video, but
that's right.
From the coaching perspective and then from just the player perspective, what were some, like, recruiting tactics you guys saw?
You can go ahead first, Matthew.
I mean, just for me, it's all about the relationships. So, like, being fortunate enough to kind of get recruited by a lot of schools and talk to a lot of coaches, it's like you always want to keep those relationships. Like, when you commit somewhere else, you always want to say, hey, thanks for the time for recruiting me. I really appreciate it. Because, like, mm-hmm. this coaching world, it's a small – like, there's a ton of people in it, but it's a small world and everything's interconnected.
So sure is.
It's kind of all about who you know, but it's like – don't want to burn your bridges anywhere and kind of treat everyone with respect. And
absolutely.
That's the basketball coaching world is a small place, and it's just that's
spoken like
that.
A vet, brother. Yeah. Spoken like a vet.
My coaching job was a coach that recruited me out of college. I didn't go to.
Yep.
Ended up calling me and saying, hey, I know you want a grad assistant position. Mm-hmm. I stayed in touch with him all throughout college, everything. First coaching job I ever got, absolutely. Grad assistant position, because he recruited me. I didn't go there. Stay in touch with him.
It's great to hear. Yeah.
Off your point.
That's a great one. And as a coach, yeah, that's really important. As a high school coach, when I saw a lot of coaches come in and recruit my players. Yeah, build in that relationship, build in that connection, build in that authentic, you know, kind of a personality with the players was really important. And mm-hmm. those over time, you know, if they came back or saw a game or came to a practice or brought their assistant, asked the player to come out and visit a practice or a game, that kind of road to building that connection, building that you know, relationship was really important, perhaps even more important now with so many players transferring, you know, to kind of, you know, solidify that that connection they made with the players. And I saw a lot of coaches come in from, you know, from all levels.
Yeah,
all parts of the country come in. And really the ones that I felt did the best job were, again, very genuine, very, you know, honest and upfront and really – you know, we're interested in the player as a person and as a player, and kind of we're interested in the team as well too, to make a connection with that high school kid. Like, oh, I see your team's, you know, playing this game or against this team, and
you
know,
good luck this weekend.
Running this offense.
That's
and,
right.
You know, this is your biggest rival and stuff like that. And then the player would notice, wow, the coach really sees me more than just as a number, more than just as a person, you know, as one player sees me, you know, as a really person. So it helps.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to be we're going good cop, bad cop here real quick.
Okay.
I'm going to let you ask him what we were going to ask, but he didn't have to go the full, you know, 100 yards into it on the tough experience that they had during the C word period of our society, the COVID deal. I have a question after that that'll, you know.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, okay. It's okay. Yeah. We talked a little bit briefly about, my two sons, Matthew and Matt and Evan, both played for me. And a couple years back during the time of the COVID crisis, we had a very, very good team. You know, we had really achieved a lot during that year, and both my sons were on my team. Matt was a junior, and Evan was Matt was a senior, and Evan was a junior, and they're both starting for me. And over time, our team really got really, really good that year. We were just about to go down state in Illinois. That's a big thing in high school basketball.
Yep.
And unfortunately, the world of COVID crashed and pulled it out from all of under us, and so it was really tough for us as a family and as, you know, as a dad and as a team to have that pulled from us.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, well, I'm going to be good cop now because you coached a great player in Jalen Brunson. And I when I was at Ohio State, I recruited Chicago quite a bit. And, you know, we got Evan Turner, you know, from Coach Pingator.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing how those great players can make us look great as coaches.
Yeah.
But, like, when did you know – like, you're around Jalen, you obviously see him as a young kid coming up, but, like, when did you say, like, okay, this guy's different?
That's a great question because it was a while ago, and I had him for 4 years, and I even teased Jay Wright a couple times, like, I coached him for 4, you only coached him for 3.
You know, that's right, you got the spend got
more time
up.
With me. Spend
that's
more right. time with me. And Tom's catching up close, too, because I talked to Tom, you know, at Jalen's wedding last year, and I said, yeah, I've coached him longer than you guys.
Right,
so
right.
So he's really mine. You know, I mean, that's just, yeah, it was a joy to coach him. He's a tremendous person. He's 10 times the person he is the player.
That's what I've heard.
And Matt will tell him that too. For a long time, you know, he's kind of Matt's big brother for a while.
Yeah.
Matt was around the program. But yeah, it was tough to know exactly when. But
yeah.
in high school, prior to his freshman year in the summer, we were playing a big game and we're playing a very good opponent, Oak Park River Forest, or another real good school
mm-hmm.
in our area. And we were playing a summer league game, and he's just out of eighth grade, you know, going into his freshman year, and back and forth game. I remember it was at UIC team camp, coming down to the end of the game, tie game. We have the ball with 10 seconds left. I'm, you know, the coach, should I call a timeout or should I let him play?
Yeah.
You know, I decide to let him play.
Right.
Yeah. It's a summer, right. You know, see, you know, like, hey, yeah, I probably didn't have a good play to run anyways. And so just right. let him play,
exactly.
You know. And literally it was a tie game with 10 seconds left. Jalen's got the ball at the top of the key or the half court, kind of dribbling out the clock, and this is, an eighth grader with seniors on the court. And we had other good players.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, is he going to pass the ball? Is he going to shoot it? Either one's probably fine. He drove, you know, to the basket. At the top of the key, he stopped against another senior player on Oak Park, who was a real good player. He pump faked him. Jalen's unbelievably great at fakes. He pump faked. The guy falls for it. He gets fouled with no time left on the clock, and then goes to free throw line and makes it for just a summer league win. No, it's not the end of the world. It's not the greatest victory in the world, but, I mean, all of us were like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me that he had the wherewithal to recognize in that moment, in just kind of a big game, I'm going to pump fake the senior.
Yeah.
And the senior's going to go for it.
Yeah.
And he is going to go to the free throw line.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone looked around like,
yeah, what just happened? He didn't let the moment speed him up.
How did you know to do that? How did you recognize in that situation that I'm going to do this and this guy is going to fall for it, or at least you think he is?
Yeah.
It takes some of my players end of their senior year to have that wherewithal, have that kind of inner clock and inner mindset to do that.
Yeah.
He did it, again, without any coaching from me, he did it before his freshman year, and it was real obvious. And then the next one, sorry to go on the story.
We would do
some contests or do some drills or do some kind of, situations in practice before his freshman year. And people that have other great players ask me, like, how do you get the other players to buy in that he is going to be your best player, and he is going to be, because that's awful hard. You know what I mean? Comes in freshman year, and the other juniors and seniors are like,
getting a little territorial.
Yeah, territorial. Right. And also, like, oh, coach, you just like him, or, you know, just, or this, or that. Like, well, I was the leading scorer last year. That summer, we made all this a huge chart on our wall in the summer, you know, camp. And the chart was all things, you know, like most tips or most rebounds or most assists or most wins in drills and practices. And we had this huge chart on the wall. And I give credit to my assistants and myself who kind of made this chart this year, because we were looking to what's sometimes called chart winners. Chart winners.
It's analytics before and, really start using the word. But
exactly.
I mean, that's, you want
it
to prove.
It was like most assists. Yeah. It was most rebounds, and maybe in a drill or maybe in a scrimmage. And we would put different teams, and we would sometimes put Jalen on with the best players, and then sometimes we'd put him on with not the best players. Sometimes we put him a team with all guards. Sometimes we put him team with all forwards. And we were doing all drill. It was drills, shooting, stuff like that. And we started to it started to become real obvious. Real obvious.
Right.
Even to the players.
Yeah.
Look at the chart like, wow.
Yeah.
That kid over there, Jalen Brunson, he got a lot of checks near his name.
Right.
He's got a lot of checks. Whether it began, it'd be a rebounding drill or a defensive drill or an offensive drill, a passing drill, a fast break, a lot of checks.
He's winning.
And it was a situation that we could go to the players like, look, it don't lie.
Exactly.
The facts don't lie.
Right.
If you don't believe me that he's going to start and going to have the ball in his hands, look at the chart.
You can see
the players are like, and they started to figure out, hey, if I want to be on the winning team, it's with him on the team, and he has the ball, and he'll give it up and assist it. And Jalen and I start to figure out, wait a minute here, this is what the coach is wanting, this is what the coach is asking, this is the players, you know what I mean? And then Jalen also starts to figure out, wait a minute, who else has got checks? I want that kid to play too.
And
I want, you know, could
That's
be
right.
charges taken. It could be diving on the floor.
Yeah.
It could be who got back on defense of that. Now, we need to have assistants that were really charting a lot. You know, and we would tell the players, keep track of your shots. You know what I mean? Like if we're doing a shooting drill. Who won? You know what I mean? Oh, Jones won, Smith won, Robinson won, stuff like that. And so, boop, boop. But it was always Brunson won again. Brunson.
Again, yeah.
Brunson. Brunson. And it became, again, real obvious to our players.
Wow.
And so there was no like, oh, man.
Yeah, this wasn't a coronation.
This wasn't
like,
a coronation.
Yeah, yeah.
It was.
Right.
Hey, facts don't lie.
Yes,
you
sir.
Mean? And then when on, you know, then the season happened, and it was like, you know, and then the joke I gave to Jalen about halfway through his summer, prior to his freshman year, I was in the gym one time, and I took my car keys out of my pocket. I threw him my car keys, just of my car that's out parked and stuff like that. And he's, Coach, what are you doing? He goes, I can't drive. I'm only 15. It's a 15-year-old that couldn't drive.
Right.
And I knew this. And I'm like, you're driving this car, though.
Yes, sir.
I said, you're driving this car.
I love it.
Because you're in charge.
Yeah.
And don't you ever think that you're not going to have my back. And
yeah.
Because you're driving this car.
I love it.
Again, that confidence, given that, you know, synergistic fact that you're
there
saying.
There you go.
Hey, here you are.
Believe in a guy before he really.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he says, but again, he goes, Coach, I can't drive. I said, don't matter. I'm giving you the license right now to drive.
Yeah.
And drive the car.
Now,
yeah.
Give him my keys back real quick.
I would have given my keys to my car at that point because he's the type of kid that you can trust. He's
yes.
the type of kid, and obviously you've seen it with the Knicks, and you've seen it with the Villanova, and you've seen it with a lot of teams.
You know, I listened to him. He was on J.J. Redick's podcast last year, and I got this four-mile walk that I take through Indianapolis, and so I was able to listen to the whole podcast. J.J.'s will go for a minute, his pods will, but he had Jalen on, and I was blown away by – let's see, at this point, you know he's talented. He's one of the best, arguably, top three point guard in the NBA. Everything he's done is – and he'd already gone to New York at this point, of course. But, like, I was blown away when this pod ended. I was like, that might be the most humble human being I've ever listened to.
He's pretty special.
And he's great.
Yeah.
But he's as great and humble. Like, his humility's a form of his greatness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was blown away, you'd hear him in interviews and things like that in the past, and like so I kind of knew, like this is a guy's a worker, like he's competing against himself every day, you can tell, But like when I heard this pod and just him just kind of really getting into his DNA and what makes him tick, I was like, my God, you know.
And it speaks like, on the coaches that brought him. I'm not even just saying it because you're sitting here, but the coaches that brought him up and the people around him. You know, you're a person of your own environment, which you put yourself in on a day-to-day basis. If you're in a bad situation, you're most likely going to get into a bad situation later on. Like, he's around good coaches, people that are bringing him up and instilling this into him.
His parents. His parents. Sandra and Rick are tremendous, and they've really done a great job with him.
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Well, I'd say, is there any – well, actually, no, there is one more thing. I lied. I was going to say, is there any more plugs? But there is one more plug because, Matt, over here. So you are currently looking for positions, as we mentioned in the beginning. So what are some, like, schools that maybe you're – not I don't want to say indirect schools. Like, plug some schools in and we'll find them.
Yeah.
But, like, what are some things that maybe you're looking for in a position? Are you just kind of – because a lot of coaches always say, find a position that fits you. Right, yep. You don't want to just go to the first school that jumps right on it. Now, of course, as a grad assistant, sometimes you want to go to a spot that's you're gonna be able to learn from, right? But you know, what are some things that you're looking for school wise?
Yeah, no, I mean, for me, it's kind of any way I can get my foot in the door, so I'm not super picky. I mean, love to kind of be somewhere in the Midwest near home, but also not picky at all. Kind of just looking to get on a staff with great people, because I mean, that's kind of all it's about, like the connections that we talked about. Looking for someone I know as a grad assistant, you're gonna have to do a lot of dirty work, not gonna do a lot of coaching kind of thing. Totally understand that and expect that, kind of willing to do whatever to help the program.
Sure.
Always been a team player, a team first guy, so kind of going to continue that in the coaching industry. But kind of just, honestly, anywhere with a great coaching staff and with great people. It's just someone that will take care of you, look out for you, kind of help you with your next steps.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm looking for, is just, like you said, can't always go to the first one or necessarily a perfect school, but
yeah,
like I'm going to put the team first. I'm going to be like a team player in that kind of sense. So just kind of wherever that fits, and just with a staff with great people is what I'd say I'm looking for.
And one thing I want to say off of that real quick, too, is I've learned this myself over the years. just being on the talking on these podcasts, talking with the amount of people that we've talked with and the tremendous coaches that we've talked with, everybody has stolen majority or ideas from the people they've been around, right? Like nobody – but majority of what you see on TV now, college, NBA, like it's stolen or – in a way utilized, right? Maybe there's a couple tweaks that they did personalized, but a lot of it's taken from other coaches. So a lot of what you're going to learn in the future is going to be instilled with wherever that next step is, that next position is. So anybody listening, I'm going to hold this mic a little closer to my mouth. Is anybody out there in the Midwest listening that wants to offer Matt Ambrose, Matt, that is M-A-T-T, a position, grad assistant position, assistant coach would be great too. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, that's great to hear.
Last thing I will tell you, and you're two thirds of the way there because your mentality, is I can already tell. But that first job, just going in with that mentality that no job is too small.
Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times as a GA, your job description is whatever .. So it's not like a bunch of bullet points. It's not like a bunch of A, B, C, E, F, G. Your role or your job description is literally whatever .. So you walk through the meeting room and the chairs are all out askew, line up the chairs.
Yep.
Right? There's a bubble gum wrapper on the floor after practice. Pick it up. Like, it's not, you don't look around for somebody else like, hey, this is our territory. We're about – that says a lot about your program is how the – because you never know who's going to walk into that gym.
Yep.
All right?
Yep. 100%.
Once a week, bring the secretary a donut or some coffee or Starbucks or something, because that's another position that doesn't get a lot of thanks and appreciate. I think it should be Secretary's Day once a week instead of once a year.
Yep.
So
yep.
Those little things are so important. And taking that no job is too small mentality into your first job, because what's going to happen is 20 years down the line, you still, regardless of what position you have, you still want to have that mentality.
Yep.
And that is going to speak volumes, because not only is it going to say about what's important to you job-wise in terms of your ability to dot I's, cross T's, be a finisher, but it's just going to tell a lot of people about who you are as a person.
Yep. Yep.
And your character.
Yep.
And then when it comes hiring time, that's the first thing you're going to think about. What kind of guy am I getting walking in my building? There's a lot of guys that can coach.
100%.
There's not sometimes there's not as many guys that have the same character that matches their passion.
Yep.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Anybody got any final comments or snippets to throw in?
No. Thank you very much for having us on. Really, we enjoy talking about basketball. We love it.
Yeah. No, we're the lucky ones, aren't we?
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. No. Hey, enjoy Phoenix. Awesome. Yeah. Appreciate you getting on and anything. Well, we'll probably see you Saturday.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yep, for sure. Yep.
So.
Yep. I'll be here.
Great opportunity to plant some seeds, man.
Exactly. That's what it's about.
Get that seed bag ready.
Yeah.
Exactly. Rising coaches.
Ready to go. Nice. Yep.
No, that is, thanks, fellas.
Yeah. Yep. That is Coach Pat Ambrose and future coach Matt Ambrose. All right. Thanks, fellas.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Prepare your team for success this season with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball, the official number one selling shooting machine in basketball. If you're looking to transform and focus your team's training efforts, all you have to do is mention Rising Coaches or tell them we sent you with the Rising Coaches podcast. For an additional $300 off, select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.